All right, we're going to try to wrap up. I don't know if we'll get it done or not, but we're going to try to wrap up the book of 2 Timothy tonight. It seems like it's been forever since we've been there, but at any rate, we're going to go there. We're in chapter 4. Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. So I got to get to the right place myself. All right, so Paul reminded us in chapter 3 that perilous times are going to be coming, and guess what? They're here, aren't they? Oh, we have to live in such a mixed up world. It's crazy out there, isn't it? I was kidding with a guy today, and he said something about being a man or something like that. I can't remember how it went, but he sort of intimated he wasn't sure. I said, well, I know I'm a man. I don't know about you. Maybe you're into transgender stuff. No, no, not me. But that's the kind of world we live in today. It's confusing. People are just confused out there. So we need to be men and women of God and live by the Word of God and project that Word to whoever we come into contact with. So keep up that good work of witnessing and testifying about the Lord. So tonight, I think the greatest theme in this is preach the Word, preach the Word. Preach the Word. That's because that's what saves people. It's the Word of God. It's the work of God. It's the message of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
What does that mean, in and out of season?
In and out of season. It means whether they want to hear it or not, whether it's good times or bad times, it's always profitable, right? That's what I think it means. You want to add something to that, Ryan? Okay. So, be ready. Be ready all the time to give the Word of God. Amen? All right. So, I'm not going to tell you about all the computer problems I had, but just praise the Lord that you have this in front of you tonight. That's all I got to say. God is good. All right. So, starting at verse 1. Paul's writing Timothy, and he's near the end of his life. And very shortly after this, he's going to go on home to be with the Lord. But he says in verse 1, I charge you, talking to Timothy, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. So Paul is saying, listen, this is what you need to do. I'm talking in the Holy Spirit and I'm charging you by the Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, that you preach the Word. He's going to get to that in a minute. So, in the original Greek, it's more than just a kind of a command. It's a very strong, it's like, you have to do this. You don't have a choice. This is what you need to do. So, it's more than just a command. The command comes from Paul, but he's in the presence of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to mention the Holy Spirit, right? So what are we saying? The whole Godhead is there. So by the whole Godhead, when they're all involved, I like to call that God Almighty, right? Because they're all there. In the presence of God Almighty, he tells Timothy, this is what you need to do. Preach. All believers, and we're reminded of this, all believers will answer to Christ in judgment. All believers will answer to Christ in judgment. But it's not a judgment for salvation. That's been settled. Jesus settled that at the cross. When you trust Jesus, your salvation is no longer in question. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Right, Curtis? Soon as you say yes to Jesus, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You cannot be lost. And the person I believe, you can't even take yourself out of His grip because you're sealed. How can you do that? How could you say, oh, I'm greater than God. I can take myself right out of that. You can't do that. So, you are there. So, it's not a salvation judgment, but it's a service judgment. It's a service judgment. So after you got saved, what did you do? Did you just go to church and show up in church? And maybe you went all the time and maybe you went part of the time. I don't know. Or did you do anything else for the Lord? Did you ever tell anybody about the Lord? Did you ever do anything for the Lord to help somebody else find out about the Lord? You know, what did you do after you got saved? That's what we're going to be judged on. Not works for salvation, but works of service. Okay? That's where we're going with that. So it's going to be an evaluation of our service to Christ. Believers will be judged after the rapture. We'll be judged after the rapture. Those that have accepted Christ, that have already accepted Him at His coming, they're going to be taken up. And we're going to be judged then. And then others are going to be judged after judgment of the goats. What is it? No, I got lost here. Sheep and the goats. Sheep and the goats. And they'll be judged for entrance into the millennial kingdom. So there's a judgment there. And then unbelievers are going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. Well, none of us will be there because we're trusting the Lord for salvation. We're saved. And so we won't be at that one. That's prior to the millennial kingdom. All right, so we need to serve the Lord. Do you agree? Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, see, you agree. Let it be done. All right, verse 2. Here it is. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. We talked about long suffering last Sunday, didn't we? Long suffering. Long suffering means to hang in there for a long time. But there is an end. It doesn't keep on going forever. There's an end to long suffering. You just look at it and you'll find out. So verse 2 is saying, preach God's word. What is it? This, the scriptures. Preach God's word. That's what he wants you to preach. The revealed word of God, including the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not going to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, why bother? That's the whole point. Let them know that a Savior has come and given Himself for them. They can be redeemed. Redeemed from what? They're going to say, what are you talking about? And then you can give them the rest of the story. And hopefully they'll say, yeah, I need that. So be ready. Be ready so when the Holy Spirit calls you, you'll be ready like a soldier who's on duty. And when the enemy comes or when you get an opportunity to serve, you're ready to do it, right? So you will be like a soldier ready for battle. And you can preach the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ to them, right? Whether it's popular or not. You know, you try to talk to people about Jesus, some of them, they don't like it. And they'll tell you. Some of them will just flat out tell you, I don't want to be bothered with that. Don't bother me with it. One day I was in Walmart and some lady said, hey, can you come? This happens to me often in stores. Yes, Liz. People come over to me and want help. Like I work there or something, you know? And of course I help them, you know. But she says, come over here, can you reach this up here? So I said, I reached up there and I got it for her. And I said, oh, by the way, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And she walked away, right? Okay. But she got the word, didn't she? I mean, she got his name. She may have to answer for that someday. I hope she finds the Lord and accepts Him so she doesn't have to. But at any rate, it happens. So be ready to preach the word. Use the word for reproving, correcting, correcting behavior, reproving, getting them on the right track in their doctrine, right? Use the word for reproving, correcting, correcting behavior, exhorting and teaching, correct doctrine and how to serve. Keep them on the right track, right? What are you going to use? The word. Yes, the word. That's what you want to use. That's why you're remembering it. That's why you're using it. So you can be in the action for the Lord, teaching and correcting the correct doctrine and service. Keep teaching it, even when, like the prophet Jeremiah, no one wants to hear it. You know what his nickname was, right? Jeremiah?
The weeping prophet.
He was trying to tell them. They didn't want to hear it. Did he tell them anyway? Yes, he did, right? Why do we do it anyway? Because we answer to a higher authority. There is no higher authority than the Lord Jesus Christ. We answer to Him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, verse 3. And I think this goes all the way down through verse 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Timothy and all preachers after him, they know the time will come when people will put their desires above the Lord's. That's right. Instead of doing what the Lord wants them to do, well, I don't have time for that today. I'm going to go do this. I have this plan. I don't have time for that. Right? Well, I was going to go over there today, but the Lord said, man, you could use you over here, but I don't have time to go over there, so I'm just going to go on with what I'm going to do. They'll never know what would have happened if they'd have followed the Lord. I wonder, people, do they ever think of that? If I had followed the Holy Spirit, what would have happened? Instead, I went my own way. Who knows what's going to happen there either, right? Okay, so they put their desires above the Lord. If they hear His word, they won't endure it. The Holy Spirit speaks to them. They don't want to hear it. Some of them wouldn't recognize it, I don't think, even if they did hear it. But what's He going to say to them? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. That's what He's saying to people that don't have the Lord. You need Jesus. See, that's what He's whispering in their ear. And until they give in to that, they're not going to know. Right? And they give in to their own wants and desires. You want to know how you know if you gave in to your own wants and desires? Just stand around and look around at the things in your yard and in your house, things that you have there. You don't use them anymore. They're just there, right? Well, one time you had a great desire for them, so much so you went out and spent money on it, right? And then you had it, right? How many of those things kept you away from the Lord? Well, you're with the Lord now, obviously. But for a time, they kept you away. I have a motorcycle sitting in my garage. For a time, it kept me away from the Lord. I have a boat sitting in my yard. For a time, it kept me away from the Lord. So we need to think about things that keep us away from the Lord, that actually hinder us when the Lord calls us to serve Him, but we can't do it because of something we desired and took on, that obligation, right? Then something's got to happen. Something's got to fall by the wayside, right? So right now my yard is about that high. Just kidding around. But you have to make some tough decisions, don't you? So, don't deny the Lord. Don't deny the Holy Spirit. And I know you haven't because you're here, but others are going to. So when you see this happening to people, what do? Yes, you do the work of an evangelist. What does that mean? Do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? He spreads the word. He spreads the gospel. He tells people about Jesus. Well, what about, listen, on Sunday morning, there's, I know, at least double this amount of people in here. Where are they? And in the past, there's been up over 100 people in this sanctuary. Where are they? We shouldn't just write them off. We should be praying for them. And when we get a chance to see them, do the work of an evangelist. Encourage them to get that relationship with the Lord back on track. Get close again. Get close again. Catch the fire again. That's really what we're talking about. So we need to encourage them. Are we doing that? That's what we got to do. We got to encourage them to get back in good with the Lord. Where are they going to do that? Well, this is the best place to do it because we talk about the Lord. We talk about the things that He does. Where else do you hear that? Do you think they go down the road listening to Christian radio? Have my doubts, right? Of course, we listen to it because we're close to the Lord. But if you're not close to the Lord, who knows what you're listening to? We have to do the work of an evangelist. We have to encourage them to get close again. We have to keep reminding them of the gospel of Christ. Like an evangelist, this will become our ministry. You realize that's what it's talking about. In the end times, believers are going to start falling away. They're going to get wishy-washy. They're going to get soft. Should we just stand at the door and wave goodbye? No, we need to remind them, hey, remember when you were so on fire for the Lord? Come on back, let's do that again. We can do it all over again. Just trust the Lord. So we need to encourage them, even those that think they're already saved and are steadfast. We just need to encourage them, don't we? So let's do it. Then we go down to verse 6. Now the tone changes. Paul's going to start talking about the end of his race. He's going to talk about himself for a little bit. And he says, for I am ready, I am already being poured out. Excuse me, let's start again. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of you. Well, it doesn't say that, but that's what he's saying. All those who have loved his appearing. We're part of that group. We're going to receive the crown of righteousness because we have kept the faith. We are fighting the good fight. We are running to finish the race. And so we can look forward to that great time of fellowship with the Lord. Amen? The Apostle Paul is declaring the end of his life and the victory that God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ have given him. He's saying, I have finished race. I have fought the good fight. But what enabled him to do that? His relationship with the Lord, his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if you don't keep that relationship close, you'll have difficulty. You must keep your relationship with the Holy Spirit close and in good stead with the Lord. Amen? If you grieve the Holy Spirit, can you say, I've run the race, I've fought the good fight? No, you need to actually be in step with the Holy Spirit. All right? So the Lord and Jesus Christ have given him the victory. The drink offering, which is really what he's talking about here, was the final part of the ceremony of the burnt offering at the temple. It was the end of it, right? So he's saying, I'm at the end of my sacrifice. I've sacrificed my life. I'm at the end of that now. And so I become the drink offering. This is the end of his sacrifice. I'm moving on now to the reward. He has run the race faithfully and successfully. We see that. It's testified to in Scripture. Paul is looking forward to the reward that the Lord has for him and for all of us that are running that race. Amen? Who follow the Holy Spirit successfully. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. You know that everybody doesn't follow the Holy Spirit successfully. Every now and then we make a mistake. We get off the rail. What do you do about that? Exactly. You know what I'm talking about. You get back on the rail by repenting. And the Lord says, yep, come right on back. And we'll just keep right on going. So that's what you have to do. You never, never give up. You have to go back to Winston Churchill, right? Never, 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 never. You don't think he's ever going to stop saying never. And then finally he says, never give up. Okay. All right. So then Paul's going to talk about some of the proteges and the people he's known throughout his ministry. That's what he's going to go into next. And he feels rather abandoned at this point in time. Now, I think I would feel that way too, being in that Mamertine prison. You know, it's like it was a water reservoir. And then they quit using it for that and it became a catch-all, like sewage catch-all, right? But you're down in there and you're in prison there. You're in chains there. You can't get up and leave. So I kind of imagine the floor might have been a bit sloped. So you'd probably try to get up to the highest point so you could get out of the dampness. That's where he's at the end of his life. So he says, I'm already being poured out and I'm coming to you. Then he says, be diligent in verse 9. Be diligent to come to me quickly. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Timothy. Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and he has departed for Thessalonica. Now, Demas was a close associate prior to this, right? But he didn't stick it out. He left. He turned out to be a fair-weather friend, leaving when the chips were down. Oh, doesn't look like it's going to go very well for Paul now. He's not being treated the way he was being treated before. Maybe it's time for me to check out. So away he went. He abandoned Paul, possibly even the faith. He may have given up his faith. Well, you know what they say about that. If he gave up his faith, he probably never had it. That's what people like to say. So that's something you got to give to the Lord. Yes. That's right. That's right. So to me, there's one of two things. Number one, no, you never were really saved. You were faking it, right? For whatever reason, who knows? Or you're a wayward child. You're still saved, but you're not living like a saved person. You're the prodigal out there, right? You pick. You pick which one you like. Which way do you want to think about it? Which way do you think the Lord's character is glorified best? By saying, oh, they were never saved. Or by saying, they will be saved. They're not living the life, but they will be saved. They belong to Him. That's your choice. You've got to make that up. You've got to make up your mind about that. I can't do that for you, right? You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Some things you've got to figure out on your own. The preacher can't do it for you. You have to do it. Okay, so everything we love and cling to in this present life can detract from our walk and service for the Lord. That's what I was talking about earlier. Things can get in the way of what you want to do for the Lord. They can get in the way of what the Lord wants you to do for Him. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful. And we often justify things. Well, if I get this new boat, you know, I'll be out there and I can witness to people while I'm out there on my boat. Yeah. Okay, right. Fat chance of that happening. But that's how we justify it and we have to be careful. All right, let's go on. That was basically 10A. And so now we're going to go into 10B. And these people are positive examples, right? Crescens, he left for Galatia. Titus, we know Titus, right? He's got a book that comes up next. Titus, he left for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. So Luke is being faithful there. Luke is still with me. Get Mark and bring him with you. So that he's still, these are faithful people, for he is useful for me in the ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. So there are those who stuck with the faith. They stuck with Paul and helped him as much as they could under the circumstances. They're Paul's true associates and faithful protégés. Crescens, Titus, Mark, Tychicus have all, they have gone on to the Lord's ministry in other places. Paul has released them to do that. You can't do anything more for me here. And we're highly restricted here in Rome. They're in Rome. That's where he's writing this from, right? So go on and serve the Lord where he calls you to go. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. All right? Now, Alexander the coppersmith was a maker of false idols. He made them out of copper and sold them, right? And that was his means of support. That was his livelihood. He may have been like a union boss. You ever read or know anything about unions and about the bosses and how much power they have? He could have been like a union boss, and he may have gathered opposition from other guildsmen because there were all kinds of idols, all kinds of false idols. And these people were making these and selling them. That was their livelihood for their families. He kind of may have kind of took all those other trades and guildsmen kind of got them together and say, look, this guy Paul is preaching about a God and we don't agree with that. And he's taking away our livelihood. He's saying these idols are false. Nobody needs them. We've got to put a stop to that, right? So he got them together and threatening anyone who might stand with Paul. You want to keep living in this city? You want to keep your name good in Rome here? Then you better side with us. Otherwise, what will happen? We'll put you out of business. We'll put you out of the guild. And you won't be able to do anything. So it looks like he intimidated witnesses who may have come forward on Paul's behalf at Paul's arraignment. Now, in Rome, they had that system where when you were accused, they would take some preliminary testimony and see if do you really need to stand trial for this, or is this some false, bogus thing? So they did an arraignment, and that's what we're talking about here. At his arraignment, he couldn't get anybody to speak for him. But what did he do for those people? He forgave them. Yeah. Now, he didn't forgive Alexander, but he did forgive the others because they were probably afraid. They were afraid. They weren't going to make a stand. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So when we go back up to verse 17, he says, so that the message might be preached fully through me. What's the message? Jesus. Jesus and him crucified. That's what Paul's message was. Jesus and him crucified, shedding his blood, giving his body for sacrifice to take our sins away. See, that's his message. Well, they had a myriad of gods there in Rome. They were pantheists. But none of them could do what Jesus could do. And that was his message. He was telling them. Wasn't a very popular message there. But he gave them the truth anyway, didn't he? At Paul's actual trial, the Lord gave him the strength and the words to evangelize all who were there and listening. They all got the word. They all got the truth, didn't they? He didn't hold back. He gave it to them both barrels. And they got it. So, remember, he was in Rome, a Gentile city. They were pantheists. They worshipped all kinds of different things. Delivered from the mouth of the lion could mean, it could be a common phrase of the time for a dangerous situation. He delivered me out of this dangerous situation. But wait, what were they doing in Rome? They were having the Roman circus, the entertainment for the masses. Bring those naysayers of our gods, bring those ones that oppose us, we'll put them out in the Colosseum and we'll let them fight the animals. And many were torn asunder by lions, as well as bears and other things, right? So it could very well be that the Lord kept him from being out there in that Colosseum. You know, we can't just dismiss it right away. You got to think about those things. Yeah. You're disagreeing? Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate that encouragement. All right, so, or it could be that he was literally delivered, right? We know this was not his way of death. He didn't die in the Colosseum, gnawed on by the lions. How did the Lord deliver Paul from every evil work? Because that's what he said up there. The Lord will deliver me from every evil work. How did he do that? Why, he brought him home. He brought him home. You finished the task I've given you. You've done what I asked you to do. You've borne all the grief, all the heartache, all the trouble, all the abuse. You've borne it all. And I've used you in a mighty way. Well, look, just look at all the books of the Bible that Paul was involved in. He's still involved in a mighty way today, isn't he? Yeah. So the Lord graciously brought him home. You did your job, come on home. He allowed Paul's time here to end so he could go on and be with the Lord. Isn't there times when we think that? Oh, Lord, I'd just soon go on. But then the Lord and the Holy Spirit says, no, got some more stuff for you to do. And you say, okay, I'm with you. Verse 19, he gives some greetings here to some others. He says for Timothy to greet Prisca and Aquila. He's probably talking about Priscilla and Aquila. And the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus, sick. So these were faithful followers too. And he's telling him what has happened to them. He's sharing with Timothy what's going on. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Almost makes me want to cry. So personal. Paul remembers and updates Timothy on beloved associates they both knew. Paul, being in the Mamertine prison, asked for some basic comforts. He already asked for that. He asked for a cloak. He asked for the parchments. We don't know if he got them before he expired, before the Lord allowed him to go home. We don't know if he got them, but he asked for them. 2 Timothy ends with Paul pronouncing a brief blessing over Timothy, reassuring him of what we all are reassured of, God's grace. God's grace. When you run into trouble, what does the Scripture say? Grace. 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 More grace. Call out. More grace. 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 And be saved by that grace. Amen? What do you think? What are you thinking about? What kind of comments you got rolling around?
I got a question.
Yeah.
Back in the first part, verse 1, where you talked about sheep and goats.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That's really a judgment of nations. Nations that followed Christ. Nations that allowed, like the United States for many years, allowed the gospel to be preached and stuff like that.
They would be the sheep.
They're separating, yes. And then the goats are the ones that didn't. So okay. There's a separation of sheep and goats.
Okay,
now, if it's a judgment of nations, I don't know how that's going to apply to individuals. I didn't study that part, but that's something that we can all study. See, there's something, you hear something brought up in church, maybe the preacher can't give you the answer, but you can look for it, right? You can do some self-study. So that's what that's about. Yes. He was beheaded. Yes. Which I think being beheaded would be a more merciful death than being mauled by an animal or hung on a cross or burned at the stake or all kinds of other weird ways they killed Christian believers. But, you know, well, I won't go into that, but. You know, when your head's separated from your body, are you even going to feel the pain? I mean, your brain's going to be up here thinking, your body's gone. There's no connection. You have a limited amount of oxygen in that brain. It's not going to last very long, and then it's going to stop.
What's that accessibility to a sound? That's it.
Yeah, right. In many ways, that's a more merciful death. Probably the most merciful way. It's gruesome. I mean, yeah, it's gruesome, but, you know, we have the lethal injection today, right? Here was a poor guy a couple of weeks ago. They tried to kill him three times with that lethal injection. Took him three tries to get it to work. So, of course, his lawyers went to court and said, that's wrong. That's just wrong. I don't know what they finally decided. I think they killed him anyway. What else are you thinking? What are you thinking? Say that again. I can't remember if they finally killed him or if they said, stop, just stop. We got to appeal this in the court. They made it stop. It's pretty, you know, that's cruel and unusual punishment. I think that could fall under the Constitution and be stopped. Obviously, they didn't know what they were doing. All right, well, we're done. And we'll pray, and still a little bit of light out there. Maybe able to do something. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful you gave it to us, Lord, that we can have it in our hand and we can read it anytime. We can have it on devices, Lord, and take it with us wherever we go. You're such a good, 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 good Father and God to us, Lord, and we give you thanks and praise. Help us, Lord, to walk in your Spirit, to give you glory and honor, Lord, to witness to others by not just our word, but the way we act, the things we do, that they might come to know you, Lord. Help things to go well at the farmer's market this weekend, Lord. Help things to go well in church. Help things to be exalting you in all that we do, Lord, bringing glory to your name. That's what we seek to do, Lord. Help us by your Holy Spirit. As we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit, Lord, use us to bring that glory to you. We pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.